So tonight we're going to be discussing some halachas pertaining to Kriya Shema. It was on last week's Mar Mekaymus. I didn't put it back on this week's Mar Mekaymus. As it is, we already have 42 Mar Mekaymus to get to for tonight. But if you just very be kids to look back at Mar Mekaymus last week, we didn't finish. I just want to very quickly mention that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Samach Aleph that when you say the words "Ukshartim lois al yedecha v'yulu toitav ois beinecha," you should touch your tefillin. Shulchan Aruch does not say to kiss your tefillin. It says you should touch the tefillin. Don't say a word about kissing the tefillin. We mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch does say that you should kiss your tefillin when you take them in and take them out, but he does not say you should kiss them when you get to Ukshartim lois. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that you shouldn't kiss them, and there's nothing to do with like kissing them. Other Achrayim held that when you touch them, there's no reason to touch your hand. So Mizalman thought that there's no transfer of Kedusha. Just because you touch your tefillin and now you touch your mouth, there's no reason to kiss it. So Mizalman Vedavka would always touch his tefillin, either with his tefillin of Ritzuish or tefillin. This way it's a Dovah Shabedusha. But he thought if you touch your hand, there's no significance to kissing it afterwards. The source that I was able to find and why people do it, I found it from the Chayodom. In the late 1700s, he brings down this minhag that when you touch your tefillin, you kiss it. But Me'ikar Adin, based on Shulchan Aruch, there is no such source for kissing your tefillin. The source is for touching the tefillin, not necessarily to kissing the tefillin. That's just what we ran out of time last week. We didn't mention it. I just wanted to mention it this week. Moving on in the sugya of Kriya Shema. So I want to talk about, first we'll talk about,
I know you mentioned you last week, just unfortunately I missed it, but
the Baruch Shem is Balachash. So that's two Gemara. There's a Gemara in Pesachim says we say the Baruch Shem Balachash because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, Yaakov said it. The Medrash says we say Balachash because Moshe Rabbeinu stole it from the Malach. Those are the two different pshatim. The Magen Avraham says they're really one pshat.
And why do we say the first
pasuk? Shema Yisrael, we say a lot to Ma'ir Kavan of the Shulchan Aruch writes. So let's talk a little bit about Kriya Shema. So number one, the Mechaber writes, this is in Siman Samach Gimel Sevav, this is very negeya. Hakayre Kriya Shema la yirmoiz b'enov. When a person saying Shema, he should not be b'miramiz b'enov. We as human beings have an ability to relay many messages without ever uttering a word. With body language and snaps and winks, you can relay tons of messages without ever speaking a word. That was the Chafetz Chaim's word in Vayidei Maran. Chavetz Chaim said in Parashat Shmini, why does it say Vayidem Aaron? It should have said Vayishtek Aaron. So Chavetz Chaim says the person can be Shasak and not say a word, but he can give over many messages without saying a word. Vayidem means not only was he silent, but there were no messages given over of anger or resentment. So a person can say a lot of things and not say a word. Just watch any Jewish home at Shabbos after everyone washes and they're waiting for the father to make a mitzvah. There's tons of conversations going on and no one's saying a word. There's the oohing and the ah and there's the fingers and a lot going on. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, all that is not allowed during Kriya Shema. Hakari Kriya Shema lo yirmoiz beinov, you should not hint with your eyes, v'lo yikutz b'tzvasov, v'lo yira be'etz b'oisov, don't point in any hinting or motions, b'parasha rishayna, all during the first parasha. This is based on the Gemara in Yuma. Shehi ikar Kabbalas ol malchus shmaim. That's the main part of Kabbalas ol malchus shmaim is parasha rishayna. So during parasha rishayna, there should be no signing, no fingers, no nothing, focus only on the Kriya Shema. Why says the Mechabib Neshinire Kikaira Aroy? It looks like you're doing it Aroy, Yuksiv, Vidibartim Bom, Vidashinon, Oysa, Oysam Ker. So this halacha may seem not relevant to us, but as we'll see, it's extremely relevant. The Mechabib writes that during the first parasha, no nothing. You're supposed to be focused only on the Kriya Shema, no winks, no mouthing, no new ahs, nothing. Now, what about for a Dvar Mitzvah? What happens if you have a mitzvah shayla that comes up? So the Mishnah writes it number two. Va'afilu dvar mitzvah asa l'ramis. Let's say it's a shayla of mitzvah. Let's say some shayla about whatever mitzvah comes up, about the Sefer Torah, or about what's going on in davening. You're not allowed to be merames during the first parasha of Kriya Shema. Paskas Mishnah Berurah. The kol shekein she'asa l'sha'of tabak b'Kriya Shema. I'm not sure if he means to chew it, to smell it. Right, this is always the argument. People tell me, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to drink coffee during davening? Where does it say? So the answer is sometimes doesn't have to say it. You should just know that that's not the way you're supposed to be behaving during certain parts of davening. You want to drink coffee before davening? That's okay. So over here, l'chayra, if you're not allowed to do that, so mustami, you're also not allowed to drink coffee during the first parasha of Kriya Shema. Says Mishra, what about the second parasha? V'yesh mechmir and gamma parasha shniya. And there are those that are machmir even for the second parasha. So therefore, achlo dvar mitzvah l'kuli alma mutter l'ramiz b'parasha shniya. So if you want to tell the guy to open the window, you want to hint him to open the window, you start pointing and saying, you know, open the window. So during Parashat Rishayin, it's Aser. During Parashat Shni, it's also not right. But if it would be a Dvar Mitzvah, you know, you're trying to relate something that has to do with a Mitzvah, then it's Mutter during Parashat Shniyah. Avala Hafsik Lehedja. But to outwardly be mafsig loy, there is no het. And you see people do this. They think because it's a mitzvah, all is mutter. It's not true. Not all is mutter because it's a dvar mitzvah. During Shema, you're not allowed to be mafsig. So writes the Mishnah Berurah. So, yeah. So again, so if you were in the first parasha of Kriya Shema, that would be not correct. If you'd be in the second parasha of Kriya Shema, we could probably call that a Dvar Mitzvah. That's what Achronim consider, right? The question is, what happens if you're trying to do a remiza because it's staring other people? Let's say you have a kid or someone's talking, so the rabbi claps his fingers, he snaps during the first parasha. Is that permitted? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, not on Hilchot Tzitzis, but on Hilchot Tefillah. Mishnah Berurah writes in number 3, the Mechaber says, you're not allowed to be mafsik during Shemen Esrei. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Va'afilu remiza ba'al ma'asar, you're not even allowed to do remiza. Imloi, if not, latinik haboicha, if you have a kid who's crying in middle Shemen Esrei, motuloi l'rameiz l'biyodav k'deish yishter. You are allowed to be merameiz in order to get him quiet. V'lo yachwidu b'tfilas, you shouldn't ruin the tefillah. V'imeinimah, if that doesn't work, yachik, k'sats me'imeinu v'lo yidabimah, step out of Yishman Esrei and remove the child. So the Achreinim Amadai from this Mishnah Berurah that you're allowed to be merameiz if it's staring your davening. So let's say you're in the first parasha of Shema and someone's making noise and someone's talking or there's something. So you want to be merameiz or you're just to not to stare at the davening, that would be mut. So that's something that is important to keep in mind if you're... So that's a question. If Shush is really talking, I would argue that might be real hefsik, which is for sure not mutter. But unless you want to snap your fingers, you want to give him a stare. Right? Some stares can be a lot more scarier than a shush. You know, you want to just relay a message, or you know, even to bang on the tables is a shayla. During the first parasha, you can't bang on the table or clap your hands. All that's really not allowed. So unless you're doing it because they're disturbing, why does this become okay. During Shemana? It's the same thing.
Oh, it's not okay.
So Yishma says the same thing. You'd only be allowed to do these things if they're disturbing.
I'm saying,
yeah, if they're disturbing. Yeah, that's really what the Mishnah Berurah is referring to. Why is this Negeya? Because many times during davening, people collect tzedakah. And they come at not necessarily the best times. So what happens if they come collecting tzedakah during Shema? So you say, how can I not give tzedakah? Such a chashuv thing to give tzedakah. Writes of Moshe Sternbuch, no, you're not supposed to give tzedakah. He writes in Shuvas of Anhagas number 4, writes in Moshe Sternbuch, even though, let's say, during Brichas Kriya Shema, or during the second parasha, where you're allowed to be Rambam's Dvar Mitzvah, he says, who says that means you're allowed to give tzedakah? Says Moshe, but during the first parasha, you're not allowed to give tzedakah. You're not allowed to give the ani tzedakah. You're not allowed to do that. He writes, "V'teimani shein his arms." That's a pellet to me. No one's nizer in this. The guys come around and everyone just gives because they think it's a mitzvah and it is a mitzvah, but it's not the right time. He says, "Umidamin shemekayim b'zeh mitzvah tzedakah." They think they're being mekayim the mitzvah tzedakah. B'shosh emizbatal b'zeh mechavana. Ukemoy shematzik yagavne kishoyim kriyshma shemizbatal b'kach. Ain loy losis lo ani shoisik b'mitzvah patan mitzvah cheres va'asa. First of all, you're oisik b'mitzvah patan mitzvah. Don't feel guilty. And he says, "Va'avad aveira kishoisik b'tzedakah b'emtzei kriya shema." That's not right. You should not give the ani tzedakah during the first parasha of kriya shema. And he writes in the number 5. He says, "Very easy noyhagim kishematzu shaniyim avakshem pruto menichem lefnei atfil lefnei matba u'shavin." Many people do. They leave the coin on the table, and the ani knows he comes. He takes the money. V'hor glulika checha. They take one. V'afilu be'emtzei kriya shema loychematzim. They'll take it by themselves during kriya shema. This way you don't have to feel guilty, you'll be able to do both. There's no chiv, and if there's no chiv, there's no reason to do it. And he writes, they should let the aniyim know. They shouldn't go around collecting. So we learned in a shir a few months ago that you're not allowed to give tzedakah during Chazaras HaShatz either. We mentioned based on the Mishnah Berurah that it's also not correct to give tzedakah. So really the aniyim have a very small window of when they should go around collecting. Some shuls are very makbar on this. They do not let them collect until after during Ashri Valtzi. By us in Yeshiva, that they only collect tzedakah during Ashri Valtzi. They don't collect during Chazaras HaShatz. Some shuls have signs. Please don't collect either, again, so the preferred would be either during Pesukah de Zimra or during Ashri Valtzi. But during Chazaras HaShatz, it's questionable, as it is during Kriyishma. So it's really not right. They shouldn't do it during those times. They should do it during either during Ashri Valtzin, or we mentioned that the Debrezina Rav said that if you can give the tzedakah during Chazaras HaShatz, where it doesn't become a whole balagan, he says what ends up happening is it becomes a whole thing. The guy starts with the change, and then it becomes forget it. You forgot what you're in the middle of doing. So he thinks it's more correct is either to do like Rabbi Shneur says, have the money on the table, have your dollar out. The guy comes and no problem. But if it's going to become a whole ASIC, then it's really not right. But during Shema, it's more chomer, because during the first parasha of Shema, you're not allowed to do anything else except for the Shema. So people should be careful. They should, the Anim should be careful, as should the givers of the tzedakah should try to arrange it. That's not during the first parasha.
It's a pellet in the, it's a simple thing, but my whole life I grew up.
They're always going around. So many people today are machmir, they don't do the... What? And yeah, 100%. It's a shter. The Debrezina Rav writes like that also. He says it's such a shter. You ruin everyone's kavani. You throw off the whole tefillah. It's not right. So the preferred. I think some people collect tzedakah during Vayivarech David. Some shuls do it because it says Va'ishev Va'kavah. They give it over there. Okay, but it's probably not correct to do during Chazaras HaShatz, and not, definitely not during Kriyishma. So that's something that people have to keep in mind, that during the first parasha, it's mamish sacred. The first parasha of Kriyishma is sacred. Nothing else. No mitzvahs. No nothing. You can't even hint to someone. You can't motion to someone for Dvar Mitzvah, even for Dvar Mitzvah during the first parasha. But we should really have an attitude that during Kriyishma, it's mamish none of this. No hinting, no nothing.
I was told that the reason that I stand for Vayivarech,
that's correct,
was only because that way
everybody stood up to give tzedakah. That's what Rabbi
Salvechik
said,
yeah. Didn't have, wouldn't be
oh, really? I heard the pshat was because Rabbi Salvechik said over, the pshat was you stand up for someone who's on his way to do a mitzvah. Since everyone was going up, that's the way I think Rav Shachter quotes it from Rav Salvechik. That the reason is because, and he compares it to the Shaila about standing up during the weddings, which we've spoken about here before, but now you have to stand up for the Chas and the Kala. So he makes it Sushtal, that you stand up for people on the way to do a mitzvah. That's the way. From the Dharma to Bikurim, right? Rav Salvechik discusses that as well, that Shaila. So this is something I think is not so common to people, that really during, but the reason why it's more negay, and I think we mentioned this last week, this time of the year, many of the Kriyashmas that we're going to recite in Shul don't count, at least on the deraisa level. For sure not Friday night. So many of the halachas are very, let's say you're going to be home. Let's say Friday night you make early Shabbos, like many people do. So the Shema that you're going to say in shul Friday night doesn't count. The Shema you're going to say in the morning if you daven at the 9 o'clock minyan also doesn't count, because you have to say Kriya Shema before you come, because it's almost like Zman Kriya Shema. So many of the Kriya Shemas that we recite today are really going to be take place at home. At home, there's a lot of things going on. You know, Bishlam in Shul, so you can focus. At home, there's a million things. You know, you're trying to shush this person, and someone needs you, so you give a motion, give me a minute. These shailas are really relevant, more than in Shul. In Shul, you can really focus. At home, you have much more more shter, so to say. So I think it's important.
That means if it's a 9 o'clock chakra, so that people could go around collecting technically.
Some Achrayni make such an argument, yeah. If it's going to be during a Shema.
Or if you make it that tomorrow, really.
And Chrami, if the Shema is not where it's really a kiyum, then it's definitely more room to be makel, 100%. So let's say if they're going to collect in the morning at the 9 o'clock minyan on Sunday, again, I hope everyone at the 9 o'clock minyan knows that they have to get up early to say Kriya Shema, which we'll talk about a little later. Not necessarily. Lav dafka. But I think there's more room to be makel.
Why would you change?
Because the fulfillment of the mitzvah was bound by the right zman. So that's where some people say, no, you still be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. 100%. That's a discussion. I think Rav Shemayim himself and others discuss it. Right, it's not just because you're doing a mitzvah, right? That's correct. There are those who make that argument. Yeah, I would say it's better, but I think one should be Machmer as well. They also talk about a Shaila of, let's say, a Godel walks in. Let's say you're having a guest speaker and you're in the middle of Kriya Shema and you're having a guest speaker come to speak between Shachris and Musaf. So the Gadol walks in and you stand up. Should you stand up? Shouldn't you stand up? So many Achareinim and Shmuel Vazner holds, no, you don't stand up. That's during the first parasha of Kriya Shema, you don't stand up for a Gadol who walks in. So these are some of the things just to keep in mind when saying the Kriya Shema, that we have to realize that it's extremely sacred and one should be completely focused on the Kriya Shema. Reb Shlomo Kluger, who was one of the great Gedolim of the 1800s. He was known, besides for his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, he was also known for getting involved in the big matzah controversy. Many Achrenim weighed in the 1800s about the machine matzahs. That's when they first became popular. So initially, Reb Shlomo Kluger was very against the machine matzahs. And then after doing some research, I think he kind of took back a little bit of it and held maybe there's room to be makel with the machine matzahs. So Reb Shlomo Kluger has a very interesting shtickle Torah in a sefer called B'chayat B'chayim in number 6. He quotes a Magen Avram who quotes a Zohar. Everyone knows that if you say Kriya Shema without tefillin, it's ki'ilu made Eidah Sheker. Everyone knows that. What about if you say Kriya Shema without tzitzis? Is that also ki'ilu made Eidah Sheker? Because in the Kriya Shema it has the tzitzis, just like it has the tefillin. So there is no such Gemara that says that, but there is a Zohar that says it. The Zohar, the Magen Avraham quotes a Zohar that says, if a person says Kriya Shema without a tzitzis, is ki'ilu made Eidah Sheker. This is very relevant. Why? Because how many of us we'll daven at a later minyan, but we'll get up early to say Kriya Shema. But we want to go back to bed before davening starts. Or you don't want to get dressed yet. So you just get out of bed just to say Kriya Shema. Do you have to put your tzitzis on? Or let's say, for example, you don't have a talis gadol. All you have is your talis katan. You don't have a talis gadol. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema. Let's say a guy, Shabbos morning, doesn't have enough talisim. It doesn't happen that often, but Amol used to be the one enough talisim to go around. The guy's not allowed to say Kriya Shema without his talis. Is that true? So Reb Shlomo Kluger has an unbelievable stickle tear over here. He says in number 6, "B'mashe heyer, mashe kosev b'taisis brachas daf yudal diver maschel umanach." Someone asked Reb Shlomo Kluger that there's a taisis and brachas that seems to argue on the Zohar. Taisis and brachas seems to hold shem bevor midivrayim shem mutol likreis kriyishma b'loit tzitzis, that you're allowed to say kriyishma out tzitzis. V'zesh lo kedivrei azoyah shehu v'amagen avram simuchav dal. In fact, so the person asked Reb Shlomo Kluger, how could it be that taisis argues with the Zohar? So he says, Reb Shlomo Kluger says, no, you misunderstood the Zohar. When the Zohar says that you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema without tzitzis is kilu mei check, it doesn't mean you're not wearing tzitzis. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, a wild whopper chiddush. He writes, in the second paragraph, he writes, Yesh lachlik v'loimer, the hatoisis upoiski mairi im ene lovish talis basdal kanfis. That's talking about if you're not wearing tzitzis at all. But that's okay. Because again, tzitzis is different than tefillin. Tefillin is a chayva. You have to wear tefillin every single day. Tzitzis is not a chayva. You can never wear a four-cornered beged and never be obligated to tzitzis. It's just that if you do put on a four-cornered beged, then you have to wear tzitzis. If we didn't have tzitzis, right, this is what the Gemara talks about in Menachos. Most of us don't wear four-cornered begadim today. So in theory, we can always get out of the mitzvah of tzitzis. We go out of our way to buy a beged, and now we wear the beged, now we have to put on the tzitzis. Tefillin, everyone has to wear tefillin no matter what. So therefore, says the Reb Shlomo Kluger, so when Tosfos says that you can get away without wearing tzitzis by Kriya Shema, that's talking about when you're not wearing anything, you're not wearing a four-cornered beged. So what does it mean that's made checker? Listen to this, unbelievable. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, but the Hazoyer Mairi, what was the Zohar talking about? Shalovish Baz Dal Kanfis. You're wearing tzitzis, they in a notlum biyodoy. You don't hold them during Kriya Shema. Wow. Zeh havikimeid eidah sheker. Kiven the lovish baz dalid. In kechayim tzitzis. V'akol amo reisem oisom. V'me'enei oichsem biyodoy leroisom. Oz havimeid eidah sheker. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger that when the Zohar said that if a person is not wearing tzitzis, it's ki'ilu meid sheker, it doesn't mean he's not wearing tzitzis. He's wearing the tzitzis, but he doesn't hold them during the Kriya Shema. So many times people are just not in the mood, they're lazy, they're tired. So they figure, how important can it be not to hold the tzitzis in your hand? I'm saying the Kriya Shema. So we'll see later tonight, it's a Shalom Rishonim, might be Kima Mitzvah. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, that would be a violation of the Zohar. If a person has tzitzis on, doesn't hold them during Kriya Shema, doesn't look at them, that would be what the Zohar means of Kilo Meitchek. Unbelievable Chiddush from Reb Shlomo Kluger. So when night, so the place came right, at night there's lav man tzitzis. So at night you don't have to. It's only during the day. But it does come up during the day. For let's say, for example, again, like my case. I think this happened to me one of these Shabbosim. I try to get up early to be Mekayim, the Shita of the Magen Avraham, the real Magen Avraham's man Kriya Shema, which is in the early 8th, I think, this time of year. So Baruch Hashem, my kids were good to me. They slept late, Shabbos morning, Kavaldik. So I got up early to say Kriya Shema. I wasn't ready to get up for the night. I wanted to go back to sleep. But the Shabbos, do I have to put on my tzitzis to say Kriya Shema? What do you do with this Magen Avraham? The Magen Avraham calls it Zohar that you can't say Kriya Shema unless you're wearing tzitzis. But I'm not ready to get dressed for the day yet. So Reb Kiveger writes in number 7, in Simen Yud Ches, Reb Kiveger says, an interesting kula and chumra at the same time. He writes that when the Magen Avraham quotes the Zayar, "Mekom makim yeshalayim akivin the achshav kulam loiv shem talis katan loyhavi kimeidis made edis sheker." Kveger holds that this Zayar was talking about when you're not wearing any tzitzis, but if you're wearing a talis katan and not a talis gadol, that's okay. So according to Kveger, let's say you find yourself in a shul where there's not enough talisim, you don't have a talis. So according to Kveger, as long as you're wearing talis katan, you're not in violation of the Zayar. But it sounds like from Rabbi Kiveiga the other way. If you're not wearing a talis katan and you're not wearing a talis gadol, then you shouldn't be reciting Krishma. So if a person gets up early in the morning to be yotze the shitas of the early zman, he's not ready to start his day, he doesn't want to get up or get dressed, he should at least put on his talis katan. Because if not, he'll be in violation of the zayir of kilomeid edishek. That's where Rabbi Kiveiga holds. And I think there's a very stark raya to Rabbi Kiveiga. Why? If you look at number 8, the Mechaben Shulchan Aruch writes in Semet Samach Vav, Im shachach laniach tzitzis u'tfilin. A person's already in the middle of Krishma, or Brichas Krishma, and he realizes, hey, I'm not wearing talis and tefillin. Again, probably more negay when you're davening b'chidus than when you're davening b'tzibur. So what does he do now? Says the Mechaber, yochel hafsik ben aprokim, he's allowed to interrupt what's called ben aprokim, between perik and perik. Lanicham vivarchalem. He'll put them on between the prokim, talking about during Krishma, between Shema, the hafta, and v'hoya. He'll put on his tefillin with a brach, talis and tefillin. Writes the Rambo, V'yeshayimim no, shelo yivarch aleim arachat tefila. You shouldn't make a brach on them until after the davening. V'hochi no'gel inyan talis. And that's what we do for talis. So according to the Rambo, if you forgot to put on talis and tefillin, so tefillin you put on, you make the bracha. Talis, you don't make the bracha. What's the difference? Says the Prima Godim in number 9, Ayin Taz, he says, look in the Taz. The Taz basically says, the difference is that tzitzis is a chayvas, it's not a chayvas guf. While tefillin is a chayv, you have to wear tefillin, you don't have to wear tzitzis. And he says, the Magen Avraham says the same thing. So frek the Prima God, then the Magen Avraham says the same thing. The Magen Avraham was the one who told us that you can't see Krishma without tzitzis. So if you can't see Krishma without tzitzis, you should have to put on the tzitzis and make the bracha. Says the Prima God, no. Tafka talis ein lahafsik levarach. Why? To motel the Krishma b'lei tzitzis. Ulechen yenecha talis b'lei bracha. Aye! Frek the Prima God, then what do you do with the Magen Avraham? The Efsher... He says, when does desire a problem? When you're not wearing a talis katan. This guy was mistaken wearing a talis katan. So if he was wearing a talis katan, so then there's no problem of meir edeshek. Mamash raya to Reb Kiveiga. So you have both the Prima Godim and Reb Kiveiga assuming that as long as you're wearing a talis katan, you will not be in violation of this din. So again, why is this also very negaya? Because how many times, let's say the shul's down at 9 o'clock, and you want to get up at 7 o'clock to learn, you put on your talis katan, you're learning for 2 hours, and you realize, I got to say Krishma. You're not wearing your talis gadol yet. Are you in meid edisheker? The answer is no. According to Kveger, as long as you're wearing a talis katan, you're okay. But the chayre comes out of chumra, which means if you don't have your talis katan, you shouldn't say Krishma. So if you want to get up early in the morning and say Krishma bezmanoi before getting up for the day, you should at least put your talis katan on in order to not be meid edisheker. However, there is a makam to be makel, and that is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says we all learned the Zayar incorrectly. Says the Aruch HaShulchan that when the Zayar says, Kari Krishma B'lei Tzitzis, it does not mean like we're saying now. What does it mean? Says the Zayar, says the Aruch HaShulchan, in the middle he writes, Avot Tzitzis, 3 lines in, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Avot Tzitzis, Nish, Amma, Pasha, Tzitzis, Ve'inol, Tzitzis, Mikom, Makam, Arechiv, Ene, Elo, Kishish, Elo, Beged, Bast, Al, Kanfois, Kimashkos, Vesem, Yutes, Ube'emis, Nivra, De, Hazari, Gamke, Kvanos, Ekein, Kishinos, Beged, Al, Kanfois, Bloit, Tzitzis. The Aruch HaShulchan learned the Zoya, he's talking about a guy who buys a Dalit Kanfois Beged, wears it without the Tzitzis. That's what it means. Not what we're doing. If a guy's in his pajamas and his undershirt, it's not a begadal kanfis. According to Aruch HaShulchan, that when a person puts on a begadal kanfis, besides being mevatel the asay of tzitzis, he's also being made a deshek if he says kriyashma. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, it's not true. So we have big nafkamina. According to Kiveger, if I get up early Shabbos morning or during the week on Sunday morning, and I want to get up early just to be yotze kriyashma and go back to bed, according to Kiveger, I have to at least put on a talis katan. While according to the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't. Very big nafkamina lahalach. So,
make a bracha on the talis katan? Supposed to normally you do it.
No, not. You would be samech on the bracha that you make in shul on the talis gadol. If you're a bacher, then yes. If
no,
you're a bacher.
If you're a married person, you...
Chayrinat. You'd be samech on the bracha that you're going to make in shul.
Even though there's a big half-sick.
There's always going to be some form of a zman. So this is a very big nafkamina. I think it's a very practical nafkamina. So, people always say, everyone makes fun of the chassidim, the daven late, they said, you don't think they get up early for zman kriyashma? So I hope so. I hope they do. That's first of all. But I wonder what they do. Do they put on their tzitzis or not? So I think all bets are equal. And the prima godim. And put on the talis cotton first.
What is the
sfar
of the oral
fish that
you said you don't have?
He thinks the zayir doesn't mean if you're not wearing tzitzis. He means if you're wearing a beged that needs tzitzis and you didn't put it on the tzitzis. So Rav HaShulchan says, but isn't that a bitul asay? He says, yeah, it's a bitul asay, and it's also made a deshaker. That's what he learns the zayir. So it's machloikis achroinim of kveger and Rav HaShulchan how to learn the zayir. But lemaisa, the Magen Avraham brings it down as does the Mishnah Berurah. So it's definitely something that we should take somewhat seriously. So Allah lemaisa, I think that's an interesting shayla that comes up specifically this time of the year when Zman Kriyishma is very early. Many people want to get up to make it, but they don't necessarily want to get dressed or get up for the day. They should put on their tzitzis. Let's talk about another part of Kriyishma, which is also evolved in Minhagim and things, but not necessarily brought down on Shulchan Aruch. What exactly, what tzitzis and how many tzitzis and how should one hold their tzitzis during Kriyishma? Says the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch number 12, Mitzvah la'echos ha-tzitzis biyatz ma'olis. You should hold the tzitzis in your left hand. Why? Keneged liboy. Because your tzitzis are opposite, left is opposite your heart. B'shas kriyishma during kriyishma. Remez l'dava. What's the remez? V'hoyu ha-dvara me'ela al v'vecha. These words should be on your heart. So we want it to be close to your heart. Not clear. Not clear. How long? Not clear. The Mechaber says you should hold it. It definitely doesn't say you have to have it at Bavienu, the Shalim Barber Kamfei Saris. We got to see who, where does that come from. But the Mechaber sounds like you're supposed to hold them. We're in your left hand during Krishma. He doesn't say a word about kissing anything. Just says hold it. Says the Mishnah Berurah. It's brought down in the Kisvei Arizal. She Ochsam Ben Kmitza Lazaris. This is what they teach you in elementary school. You put it between the small finger and then this finger. Put it over here. What says the Arizal? V'yabit behem. And when you get to the third parsha, you kochim gab biyad yamin. You should put them also in your right hand. V'yabit behem and look at them. So it sounds like it starts off in the left hand. It's in your left hand until you get to the yoimer. Then you get to the yoimer, you kind of hold them by both hands or switch hands or hold them in both. Not clear. Steer them. And they should stay in your hand past the end of Shema until v'yatze v'nochein. Then we get to the words v'nechmonim la'ad. V'oz yinashik atzitis v'yasir miyodom. Then you kiss him and leave go. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, as is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan, as even quoted by earlier, the minhag is to hold them in some form of both hands. You start off on the left, you get to Vayoyim, the Parsha Vestitis, it switches to the left and the right. You hold them through the end of Shema, until you get to the words, Nechmanim Nechmadim Lad, then you kiss them, then you put them down. Today they write this all in the Siddur, so you assume it's all given. But that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let's be fair and honest, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say any of this. This is what the Mishnah Berurah brings down. Why do we put it in our left hand, says Mishnah Berurah? This is very relevant for lefties. The halev hu b'smart, because the pasuk says it should be, the word should be on your heart. Your left hand is closest to your heart. U'mitzvah matzal adam menachet. As we know, the mitzvah of tzitzis has unbelievable powers. It protects a person from sin. T'chsiv alei sasu, l'man tizkav yisim k'doishim. After choshar mitzvahs, ein bem zoysa skula, atziloi, mietzahara, tzitzis adif. Tzitzis have an unbelievable power, unbelievable kayach to protect a person from aver, which is why I find it so ironic that some high school boys have a very difficult time in the mitzvah of tzitzis. When I was teaching, I had talmidim, I couldn't understand. I understand a lot of taivas, a lot of nisyanis. This one I couldn't understand. They mamish did not want to put on talis cotton. They could not come to putting on a talis cotton. To the point is, I knew many, many bachim that would not wear tzitzis. I poshut, didn't understand the taiva. So I think the answer is poshut. It's such a koyach, it has such a power, that's why the Yetzirah makes you not want to do it. If you look at Midrashim in last week's parsha, they go on to discuss the koyach and the power of the mitzvah of tzitzis, because I don't understand the nisyanis. I understand a lot of nisyanis. You don't, how many times do we even think about a tzitzis throughout the day? Again, I hear if you want to be machmir and wear wool, and I hear, okay, fine. So wear the cotton, and you won't feel it so much. But it's something very funny to me. What? It's takana. I don't think that was the reason. I don't think they knew enough about that. They didn't know that Gemara Menachas. I don't think they knew that. They told me they couldn't do it. It's something that's restraining. It's controlling. The Medrash says that tzitzis is supposed to be our big day malchus. This is what shows that we're in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They go, I should be under. Okay, that's a shmuz for a different time. Should our tzitzis be outside or underneath? Who's right? Who's wrong? Chassidim, it's machlokes rishonim. But it's a big mitzvah, so it's one of those things I never understood.
This is the only point at which Mishpura says you kiss the tzitzit.
The chayv. That's correct.
Other than that, would be a hefsek.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to get to. That's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about kissing yet. He just says, hold him.
He did.
No, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, just hold him. Mishpura said you kiss him at the end.
Right.
So let's just, the kids are talking again about lefties. We mentioned lefties last week. Which hand does a lefty cover? So we said he uses his right hand. Which hand should a lefty hold a tzitzis in? Said the Debrei Tzina Rav, also his left hand. Why? This is not a lefty-righty thing. This is pashut. It's close to the heart. Lefties and righties have the heart on the same side as anyone else. So the Debrei Tzina Rav writes Mefurish in number 14. Mitzvah la'ochaz atzitzis biyat smolus k'neged liboy. A lefty should also hold it in his left hand. Because his heart is the same side as anyone else, so he should also hold it on his left as well. So this mechaber didn't say anything about kissing the tzitzis, anything about looking at the tzitzis. It said hold the tzitzis at shema, and then that's it. Mishnah Berurah said if I switch over from left to right by vayomer, that none of it's in Shulchan Aruch. Says the mechaber number 15, yesh noyegim. Not the Mechaber. That was Mr. Brewer. Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything. Shulchan Aruch just said, hold them in the left hand. That was all the directions we got from Shulchan Aruch. Hold them in the left hand, and that was it. That was one Mechaber. There's another Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. This one is not in Hilchas Tzitzis. This one is in Simen Chof Dalid, which is actually Hilchas Tefillin. Right? So we're going to jump a little bit to Hilchas Tefillin. In Simen Chof Dalid is where some of the halachas are brought down. So in Chof Dalid, the other Mechaber writes, Yesh Noyim. Some people have a minuk lehistakel b'tzitzios to look at their tzitzis. When kishmagiim luriisa moisai, when you get to the words uriisa moisai, velitin oisam alinayim, to put them on your eyes. Some people do on or in something like that. Uminag yofehu, it's nice v'chivuvi mitzvah. It shows that you love the mitzvah. Hagos says the Rama, gam noigim ktsas lanashik atzitzis b'shosh shiroi b'em. Also, some people have a minute to kiss the tzitzis when they see them. V'akol hu chibah mitzvah. It's all to show love for the mitzvah. So according to the Mechaber, and even according to the Rama, it doesn't say you have to kiss it every single time you say tzitzis. None of that. It just says, you should look at your tzitzis when you get to a re-yisimoisim. Says the Mishnah Berurah number 16, Alei Nayim, Nimtza b'shem ha-kadmoin, it's brought down by kadmoinim, by early people, shekol ha-mavet tzitzis alein of kishukari parashat tzitzis, anyone who passes the tzitzis over their eyes when they recite the parashat of tzitzis, yamuftach shalayovah lidei simo einayim. Nach ha-haftach, a guarantee, he will not have bad eyesight. He won't lose his eyesight, he won't go blind. It's a skula for good eyesight is to put the tzitzis over your eyes during the parasha of Shema. I don't know if he means during every time you say the word tzitzis or only when you say uriizamaisai. It's not clear to me. Then he talks about something which shouldn't be negated to anyone, but I happen to know a few people in this matzif. Hasuma, what about someone who's actively blind? Yesh lo achaz tzitzis b'yad b'shas kriyashma. Hitaka should hold the tzitzis in his hands during kriyashma. Alfa pishanem uriizamaisai, even though you're saying, what's the way you see them? He's not seeing them. Because he could see it through other people could see it for him. The Gemara says in other places. But he shouldn't actually put them over his eyes. That looks already like a joke. So Asuma holds them in his hand, but does not put them over his eyes. So again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, what are we left with? That you should hold the tzitzis, look at them only for the words that we use to say. That's it. He doesn't do anything about kissing them. That's all. Now, we all know, and I remember back to when I was in elementary school, that was not the way we learned in elementary school. We were told in elementary school that you're supposed to hold it between the pinky and this finger, and when you get to the word tzitzis, you're supposed to kiss it, and you're supposed to put them already. When you get to the Avinu L'Shalom, you're supposed to gather all four strings. Where does this all come from? It's not in Shulchan Aruch. So it is brought down. It's brought down the Ber Heitiv. Behitiv on the page in Shulchan Aruch writes, Kishimagia la arba kanfois aretz, when you get to the words la arba kanfois aretz in Avarabo, yikach adal tzitzis biyad hasmolus, you should then put all the four tzitzis in your left hand, v'yenichim al liboy, and leave them on your heart, ad parshas v'yoymer, until you get to v'yoymer. Now, this part, the Mishnah Berurah did not bring down. He only brought down half of the statement. Then when you get to the Yoimer, Va'oz Yikochim Biyad Yiminoi, then you switch it to your right hand. Achi Yigil L'chayom V'kayomim V'yinashkim V'yinichim. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quoted. He did not quote, to my knowledge, the first part about V'avienu bring the four together. That the Mishnah Berurah left out. I wonder if there was a reason why the Mishnah Berurah left it out. Maybe he thought all four being together. Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in a second. That's great. That does not stem with this at all. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's interesting to me that Mr. Brewer quoted, it sounds like he was quoting this Beheita, but he left out the first part. He only quoted the second half. The second half that says he's supposed to switch from the left to the right and keep it until Naman v'Nachmadim, he did not tell us the part about gathering all four together. Where does that come from? The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Again, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was later. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was not till the 1800s. It was one of the great Hungarian Rabban and Paiskim. I don't think he was officially a rabbi. I think he was a Paisik. So he writes in his sefer, Koidim Kriya Shema, Kisha Omar Vavienu, Noitel Asat Sedis Biyode, Vaoichtim Mishas Kriya Shema Biyat Samo Ben Kimitz Lazarus. He goes with the Arizal, Ben Kimitz Lazarus. Sounds like not transfer, but hold them in both ends. That's why many people hold the tzitzis like this. You ever wonder why they're doing that? I don't know if they know why they're doing that. They're doing that because of this. Because you're supposed to have it in the left because of the Shulchan Aruch. You want to have it in the right because you're getting to tzitzis, so you hold it in both hands. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that's mechaber. When you get to Yisamoyse, you put them over your eyes and look at them. Umistakel ben v'noishkan. He says, you kiss it. And whenever you say the word tzitzis, you kiss it. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That's what everyone does. I always tell people, Rabbein who teach elementary school boys and girls have an unbelievable achrais. Because whatever you remember in elementary school, you think is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So whatever they teach the kids, it becomes what they do until they learn otherwise. So I'm not saying it's not right for the rabbeim in elementary school to teach the kids like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Maybe it is right. But that's what they're teaching. All the kids, I remember in elementary school, this was chayik v'leyav. Everyone knew that. Where does it come from? The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Not to at all belittle the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, chas v'shalom. Very chashav yid. But it's, you know, I don't know if that's the way they should be teaching the kids. Maybe should teach the kids what the Shulchan Aruch says. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's for the menalim to decide. But it's an interesting thing that what adults remember what they did with Girsa the Yankisa. So until they get older and they realize it's not necessarily so passionate. Yeah, well, we'll see why in a second. Yeah, we'll get to that. We said this when we did a sugya on Shemon Esrei. With the three steps back, we also pointed out then that a lot of the way people today do the three steps is when they were taught in elementary school by wonderful Rebbeim, but it just wasn't correct. It wasn't al-pi halach. So it's a big achrayis to teach kids. My daughter came home this week with a brachas B book, all the brachas. I was going through all of it, and I had a lot of horrors. I don't know, I didn't think a lot of the brachas were 100% correct. But whoever made the book, he made the book. I don't know who they asked, and they assumed that everything there is right. So they got to licorice. What's the bracha on licorice? So I'm, when we learned, we never talked about it. But we did talk about licorice. Yeah, we did sushi. Yeah, I'm a big believer that mezainis should be on licorice. All licorices should be mezainis. I'm a big believer. I spoke to Rosh Hashachta about it. He also agreed. I spoke to my Rebbe, Kalman Epstein, he also agreed. So in the book, they say shahakal. So my daughter asked me, what should she say? So I told her like this. For the bee, when they ask you, you tell them shahakal. In this house, we make mezainis. Just see, the problem is they get very confused. They hear one thing. So my wife tells me I'm not allowed to tell them any of these things. They should do whatever they do in school. But sometimes what you do in school is not always right. You know, they write in that book also, they write the schnitzels are shahakal. I don't agree with that either. They also write that pizza, if made with juice, is a mezainis, with water is hamoitzi. That's being samech al marsham, which is not widely accepted at all today. So I get very disturbed by these things. But I'm assuming they asked someone. They must have some das tari they asked. I don't know. They didn't ask me, that's for sure. But a lot of what we do today as adults is what we did as kids. So until we get educated, we learn a little bit more, we realize there's more out there. But in any case, it comes from the kids of Shulchan Aruch. But not everyone agrees to all of the above. The Moshel, the Vilna Goin, the Maaser Rav, the Gra, number 19, writes, B'kriyash ma'oiches b'eitz tzitzis shalfonav. First of all, the Vilna Goin held only two tzitzis, because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Ve'enei menashe klal, he didn't kiss anything. Why? So the commentaries on the Maaser Rav, they say it was all shadows of Hefzik. There's no reason to do it. It's all Hefzik. No, don't do it. So the Vilna Goin was of the opinion not to kiss anything. As was the opinion of the Chazinish. If you look at number 20, this is from the Din of Van Hoggis Chazinish. B'kriyash ma'oiches b'eitz tzitzis shalfonav, v'loi hoi menashe klal. The Chazinish would hold them, he wouldn't kiss anything. But he would look at them. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says to do. But he wouldn't kiss anything. No kissing. So from the Goin, Chazinish, many people did not kiss the tzitzis because they held it presents a shayla hefsek. It's not brought down anywhere. So why do it if it's not brought down anywhere? If you look over here in number 22 in the Rivvei Sefraim, Rabbi Ephraim Greenberg wrote a shtickle of all things he saw by Rav Moshe during davening. Very interesting. He writes over here, Hineni Roshim and Hagas Tfilo, Shavu Isa Eitzamayi Virebi Agon Rav Moshe. Bunch of Anhagas I saw by Rav Moshe during davening. And he writes, first of all, B'shachos B'psukkah Dezimra, Amenu Mispal B'tei Chassidim. Rav Moshe used the Siddur for B'psukkah Dezimra. Then he didn't use the suit. Noshik as a tzitzis beemes ubikayemes. He had the end and viyatzav nochen. Because why not? It's not no shayla of hefsek of anything. So Moshe also didn't kiss the tzitzis. So we have the Vilna Gaon, Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe, a lot of very chashuv people that did not kiss the tzitzis, not like the kids of Shulchan Aruch. Then he goes on to some other interesting minhagim, where he says over here, "Berifaenu b'shemayn esrei hoytzi mitachas the sidur rishimus ochel mispal avuram lefushleimu." He had a whole list of people that he would daven for during Rifaenu. Umispal mitachas sidur, and Moshe always davened with the sidur. I would assume that Moshe knew shemayn esrei by heart. He knew, prima godim sev cottons by heart. I'm sure he knew the shemayn esrei by heart. Moitzi kesef mikisel lefnei chazor seshatz. Moshe took money out of his pocket before chazor seshatz. V'nichay al shulchan litztaka. He left it on the table. Why? Not to shtei chazor seshatz, like we mentioned earlier. The filas apayim nofal beiz yodov. We mentioned this also when we did the sugi of tachlon. The Moshe would do tachlon on both hands. Leinoshak atfilin bepeisech. He did not kiss his tefillin when he got to the words peisech esyadecho me'ashu v'otzin mespalim b'teichasim. So interesting on Hoggis, but what's negay to our sugi today? Rav Moshe also did not kiss his tzitzis during actual Shema. So there are quite a few people, as mentioned, Rav Shechter also. You said that Rav Shechter doesn't do it either. That's probably in line with the Vilna Gaon. Probably Rav Soloveitchik didn't do it. But those, I know many people who follow the Gaon do not kiss the tzitzis. I myself don't, in line with these G'dayli Achroinim. However, the flip side is the stipler. The stipler was not like his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish. He was a little bit more chassidish gear. And he writes in number 21, Moi v'Rebbe, this is the Archas Rebbeinu, writes for the stipler, he held on to all four of the tzitzis during Kriya Shema, which again, that's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says to hold two, not to hold four. The holding of the four comes from the kids of Shulchan Aruch and the Berhetiv, that you gather all four together, and once you hold them, you keep them. But Pashas and Shulchan Aruch, you don't even have to do Vavienu. Again, that made it into the Siddur now. That's, you can't even, you tell someone otherwise, they'll tell you, but it's Mefush, a Siddur. Mefurish said it says in all the articles to Durham that when you get to Vavienu, you're supposed to gather all the four tzitzis put together. Yes, Mefurish is a Shulchan Aruch and Mefurish is a Berhetiv, but not necessarily brought down by later people. But the Maaseh, we'll see the Aruch HaShulchan does break it down, which is interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan does break it down. Mishnah Berurah does not, the Aruch HaShulchan does. But the stipler held all four together. Oichsen b'toich kaf yodo, he held them in his palm. U'mikfalom ala etzba, and he would wrap them around his fingers. Some people do that also. It's also a zach to do. Umachnisom chazor lekaf yodei bet etzmal omo ubetzuzu menashkim kishoyim emilas tzitzis. He would kiss them and he said the word tzitzis the ms. V'loy ma'avir malenov, but he wouldn't pass them on his eyes, which seems to be what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Kshemegiyah nechmadim la menashkim umasirim. So the stipler kissed at every line of tzitzis, which is really a kiss of Shulchan Aruch. Rishon Zalman also did not do that. He also only held two tzitzis. So definitely a lot of very chashuv people did not have the four tzitzis. The Aruch HaShulchan does write, V'noigim lekabit ha-tzitzis ve'esh ha'im ve'avienu l'shalim. He does bring it down, the Aruch HaShulchan. V'yesh noigim litol rak ha-shnei tzitzis l'fonof. U'kshemegil ha-reyoysim oysim noigim mestakal ba-tzitzis. V'noigim le-nashik ha-tzitzis. V'chol eilu ha-dvarim l'chiv ha-mitzu u'medinoi eina ma'akiv. None of this is really ma'akiv. It doesn't hold up the Shema. If you do kiss it, you don't kiss it, you hold it, you don't hold it. Except for Shlomo Kluger. According to Shlomo Kluger, if you don't hold it, you're in violation of the Zayah. There's a very interesting Beis Yosef, we're not going to have time to get to this evening. Number 24, I urge everyone to take a peek, where there was actually a discussion amongst the Rishonim not to hold the tzitzis during Kriya Shema. It dates back to the Goyim, with the Troy Goyim held it's no Makar. No Makar is Yuara, it's Gaiva. So the Rishonim Tomu. Mitzat Sheni, some Rishonim held that since it says in the Torah, Yisa Maisai, it's a mitzvah. How can you not? It says in the Torah, Uri Yisam Maisai means you're supposed to look at your tzitzis. So some Rishonim held, it's actually a mitzvah to look at your tzitzis. So the Beis Yosef has a whole discussion about is it not? Halach l'maisa, we follow the Shulchan Aruch, which is somewhere in between, that there is an Indian to do so. We don't hold it's a mitzvah, but we hold there's an Indian to look at your tzitzis, at least by Uri Yisam Maisai. I wanted to get to some other topics. Okay, let's try to move along. Number 25 is an interesting thing you'll hear. Many people in Shul will say the Kriya Shema to the trap. What's that all about? So that's a mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber writes, Tzarech likris kriya shema betameo k'moy shehem b'teir. Person's supposed to read it by trup. Why? So if you look in the Beis Yosef, the simple reason is to ensure that you're reading it correctly. How do you know you're making the proper stops and the starts where you're supposed to be, and it's not a bunch of run-on or incorrect sentences? If you use the trup knows exactly where to stop, where to start, where to make the pauses and the commas. So if you do it that way, then it's done mehudr. Writes the Ramah, Hagoh, Avoloi Nogu came b'dinas elu. Already Ashkenazic custom was not to write to say it b'trup. Umikomakam hamedaktikim machmirim b'kach. those that are medactic should do it. So the Darkei Moshe, who's the Rama, in the Sefer on the Torah, he explains a little bit more. He writes, "Venirli the kosh of the shanas aminik bezer ki akriya b'tameo mafsid hakavona." He thought the reason why people didn't do this because it became very hard to focus on two things. If I'm focusing on the trap, then I'm not really focusing on Pirush Amilas. I'm preoccupied with the trap. So he writes, "Ki efsher lemishle rogel atzmei bezer ba'oidel chavin benigin u'pirush Amilas karoy l'chein akoyer kiminagein u'lahifset." So it's telling from the remote, the reason why people don't do the trap is because it was just too complicated. They couldn't get so much in their head. Aval aroyte lahachmer al atzmei v'yoda shiucha lechavin b'shtein yachmer v'tovei alav bracha. It sounds like even though the Rama was the one who said that you don't have to do it today in Ashkenazic world, it sounds like that's only because you couldn't put it all together. But if a guy says, "I can handle the trup and I can handle that," it sounds like it's preferred. I think there are those who go the other way. They say today that we know in our head where to make the stops and the starts because we have a somewhat of basic knowledge of Hebrew. We know that, you know, where exactly does it make sense to pause, and then we don't need the trup anymore because we can do it on our own. In the Sfaradim, they're actually very makbid, the Sfaradim, to read it b'trup. Yakut Yosef writes, "Tzarich likra kriya shema betamim k'may she'im b'teiro," and that's because that's what the Mechamer Shulchan Aruch writes. We're make because of the Rama, but nonetheless, Svardim are machmir to read a dafka with the trup, while Ashkenazim are soymich on the Rama. But it sounds like from the Rama and Darkei Moshe that if you could put it all together, it sounds like it is preferred. So I think today most people don't read it with the trup. I think they're soymich on the fact that they'll get the proper stopping and starting because they know how to read Hebrew and they know where to stop and stop. I put over in number 28 a Mishnah Berurah, just another place where the Mishnah Berurah talks about kissing the tzitzis. This is by Baruch Sha'amah. But Baruch Hashem, I did the Mishnah Berurah writes very clearly. Oiches shtei tzitzis. Again, only two. Shelafonov b'shah asamir is Baruch Hashem. Ulaach gemar Baruch Hashem yinashkim. You kiss them. So there, Mishnah Berurah writes mefurish by Baruch Hashem that one should kiss their tzitzis. Let's talk about a little. Oh, I'm running out of time over here. Let's talk a little bit about how to pronounce some of the words. It's funny. Everyone has in their head that the only thing they're makbaran is the tzitzis guru. There's like three other halachas in Shulchan Aruch that also talk about where to, how to properly read it. That everyone forgot. So if one would look in Siman Samach Aleph, there's a bunch of halachas there about, first of all, being mafsik between those words where the last letter is the same as the first letter. Hakanof Pesil. So you got to make sure to make the break there also. People only know about the Tizkuru. That's the only one everyone knows about. But there's many other ones where you have to look in Shulchan Aruch where you're supposed to make specific breaks and be careful on how to pronounce. I just want to mention very quickly, Shulchan Aruch writes in Vav, Tzarech laharech b'ches shel echot. You have to be marech in the ches, and you're supposed to be marech in the dalid, but you shouldn't be marech too much. So Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to be marech in the ches and in the dalid. So Achrein Rabbi Yaakov mentioned, he says, how are you supposed to be marech in the dalid? The way we have the dalet, it's impossible to be marach in it. You say, your mouth doesn't work. So Rabbi Yaakov writes, this is one of the rayas, that maybe we have the wrong pronunciation of the dalet. It should be he writes over in number 30, he thinks the more correct way to pronounce the dalet is where the temanim have the dalet. It's like a the. TH. It's not d. You can't be marach in a d. Your mouth doesn't laugh. It's more of a thaw. He writes over, it's kamoy bevat thaw, but angulit. So therefore that you can be marach in. So that's one of Rabbi Yaakov makes this ha'ara. But halach l'maisa, both Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zalman, Rabbi Abadi writes, it's impossible to be marach in the dalet. It's not to be marach in. How do you marach in the dalet without changing the letter, the reading of the word? So that's why most people today are not really marach in the dalet. And the preferred way to say the Shema is, Rabbi Abadi writes, he says, you say echad, don't be marach in the aleph, be marach a little bit in the ches, and then you finish, v'ein laharach b'dalet klal, you can't really be marach in the dalet because it's going to change the meaning. So therefore that's the way to say Shema. What we didn't get to this evening, and I guess we'll leave it for a different time, we're not going to talk about it in a follow-up share, is what happens, the Shulchan Aruch writes that Kriya Shema is supposed to be made up of 248 words to connect to the body parts that we have. The problem is we're always going to be short three. So we have Hashem Elokeichem Emes, by the shots, catches up the three. So the Munkach Rebbe has a tshuva that women have more body parts than men. The Magen Avraham says they don't have 248, they have more. So here's a whole discussion. So do women have to bother with Hashem Lekechem Emes? And we know that we make up for the three with Kel Melech Naman. So do women have to do it? So here's a whole discussion back and forth about the Kel Melech Naman. It's kedai to take a look at some of these interesting Maram Kaimis about should you say Kel Melech Naman b'chidus or not? What do you do when you say Kriya Shema? Which is very negay this time of the year. You daven early Ma'ariv and you daven Ma'ariv later. Should you say the Kel Melech Naman or not?